club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't. Hello, people, and welcome back to another episode of the FC Lowell podcast. We are vastly approaching the World Cup now, which means it's prediction time. Been a bit up and down, a bit ropey with my predictions in the past, but I think with this one, I'm going to do well. And today I'll be pitting my wits against Mr. Ollie Jenks, taking a little break from TikTok podcasting world and joining us on this one. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, Jack. Thank you for having me once again. And it's always a delight.
Nice. It'd be interesting to see if you've got any controversial or hot takes on this. It's a weird World Cup, this one, isn't it?
It is. Being in the winter, it should never have happened. Going to Qatar, it should never have happened. I agree with what you said a little bit earlier on before the pod about it. If it's going to go to the Middle East, it should go to Saudi Arabia, somewhere that's got footballing heritage. They've been in the World Cup multiple times. They've got, you know, players like Sami Al-Jaber, Saudi Arabian legend and striker, played for Wolverhampton for like four caps in the noughties. Had to sneak that in there. So yeah, just an absolute legend. There's just so, like, with the Russia World Cup, that there was, you know, a lot of people thought there was going to be trouble, and there wasn't. With this one, I don't think anyone can afford to go. I think the stadium is going to be empty. They're going to have the migrant workers who built the stadiums and died building the stadiums. They're going to be wearing all the flipping, you're going to recognise the same guy in like a Cameroon shirt, a Netherlands shirt, an England shirt, a Germany shirt, sat in the seat of the same stadium. People can't afford to go. I looked at going for 10 days, it was going to cost 11 grand, just the accommodation. The tickets actually weren't too bad, but it's going to be, again, it's going to be hot. You've got the air-conditioned state-of-the-art stadiums. That's not going to work with England players.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, thank God, yeah, we haven't got any gingers on the team. Like, they'll absolutely fry. So, yeah, I don't really it's a World Cup that never should have happened, but nonetheless, as soon as that first ball is kicked in the Qatar-Ecuador game, I'm going to be fully on board with it. I can't help it. I'm a football fan first and a humanitarian second. I know that's a bad, terrible thing to say, but I can't. It's just, it's the way the world is. It's my one source of joy in this life sometimes, international football and World Cups specifically. And, you know, they only come around once every 4 years. And, you know, I can either ignore it and be unhappy or watch it for my pleasure at the very least, despite how tragic it may be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same, really. At the end of the day, it's World Cup, and we've got to, if the choice was don't play the World Cup or play the World Cup, I'm going to go and play the World Cup. But I hate the timing of it. I mean, selfishly as well, being an Arsenal fan, at the minute, I'm really liking the league season. Yeah. So it could have come at a better time for us, I think. But I still think, in terms of achievements, it's the biggest thing now. You know, you look at a player winning a Champions League, you've got a chance to do that every year, sort of thing. Whereas a World Cup, it's once every 4 years. It's still the biggest prize in the game. So,
Pele won three. You know, that's incredible. And people slander him, saying, "Oh, he scored a bunch of goals for like pub teams and stuff." And he won three World Cups. I don't think you could, you know, spoil his name.
Yeah,
I hate people who do that. So I know it's like Twitter, but he won three World Cups. That's do you think there'll be any controversies this World Cup?
What, as in on the pitch or off it? Or?
I don't know, because I was thinking, you know, I said to you earlier about, you know, it's strict Sharia law in Qatar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
know, someone, you know, Phil Foden does miss a penalty and go, for fuck's sake, you know, are the police going to rush on the pitch and, you know, chuck him off? Or what's going to go on there?
Well, I think the British, English and Welsh players, that they're going to be prime for getting in trouble off the field, I think.
Yeah.
I think we are going to see a bit of scandal.
Imagine, like, a Grealish has a party in his hotel room.
Yeah.
We're only allowed to field, like, seven players. We have to borrow a couple of players from Costa Rica and Canada. because you know their parents are born in England, and yeah, there's seven of them locked up or something. But maybe that's me being harsh and overly political about the thing, but I'm hoping it goes well.
Yeah, I mean, we've waited longer than 4 years, haven't we, really? We've waited almost 4.5 years for it. And with the Euros being, well, there was sort of full crowds, weren't there? But it wasn't a proper kind of international tournament because of still a bit of lockdown and stuff.
Yeah, what did you make of them hosting that across a few different countries? Because they're doing the same for the next World Cup, aren't they? It's Mexico, Canada and the USA. I don't like that.
No. Does that also mean that they all get into the World Cup automatically?
Well, that's one reason I don't like it. And the second reason I don't like it is, like, what if your group games were in Toronto and the finals held at the Azteca?
Like, see, I think it could work if it's like Spain and Portugal. But USA on its own is as big as a continent. When you throw Mexico and Canada in there, it's ridiculous.
It's going to confuse the fuck out of people, like with the different time zones.
Yeah.
Off is 3:30. Okay. I thought we had plenty of time to get there. You know what I mean? Like, especially, I don't know. Yeah, stupid. Don't do it. Well, they, I know they really are. But,
yeah, it's money, isn't it? But I mean, at least they will have the infrastructure. But
Russian World Cup, they wanted to boycott because of, you know, like trans and gay rights and stuff. The Qatar, they wanted to boycott because of migrant workers dying. The USA, Mexico, Canada one, they want to boycott because people can't understand time zones. It's such a British thing.
Yeah, that's it. And that, we missed out, didn't we? Was we supposed to host this one or going for it?
It would have been this one. I remember it so clearly. I was watching it on Sky or whatever it was. And you have Prince William sat next to David Beckham, looking hopeful, looking like, yeah, it's in the bag. Mm. And then I can't, to this day, whenever I close my eyes to go to sleep, I just see that fat Qatari man with a moustache, you know, Qatari Mario, he looked like, just smiling, going, hey! It's like, I don't know what everyone, I was stunned silent. I don't know anyone who wasn't. Just like, Qatar, first of all, where's that? Second of all, isn't there national sport like camel racing? That, again, not to sound racist, but I generally think it might be like camel racing or something. Again, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, that's going back to the point, isn't it, about if politically they do want to branch out and they do want to put it in, you know, give it to a different continent each time. But yeah, Middle East, there's better countries to put it in.
Yeah, but the Antarctic would be a better country to put it in than Qatar.
Well, yeah. England would have better weather for that, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, it'd be a home fixture for us.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And, I mean, if we move on to the big prediction, I suppose, the first one, I do genuinely think weather and climate and stuff plays a massive part into this. So, who have you got winning the World Cup?
I've gone rogue. I'm looking at the groups and who could draw who and who would go into the round of 16 and stuff. I think your favourites, I don't think the South American teams are going to do well because I think Argentina, I know they were on a very long undefeated streak, but I think it's still quite an ageing squad. I think as soon as they come up against anyone decent, I think they'll struggle. I just don't think they've got the squad to deal with it. So I think your favourites are probably Spain, Germany. It's not even a great, but the Brazil squad isn't that great either, to be honest. It's not cohesive. I think Spain, Germany and France are going to be the hot favourites. I'm actually going to go with the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
Might have shocked you there.
Yeah, finally winning it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's about time they've done well because since 2010, they haven't really done anything. Got to the final in 2010 with all those amazing players, Van Bommel, Van Persie, Schneider, Van der Vaart, all those legends of the game. This time, they've got quite a cohesive squad, but they've got Van Gaal as their manager, and he's a very good tournament manager from the Champions League, FA Cups. He's a very good tournament manager. He knows that team inside out. He knows Dutch football inside out. They've got an easy group with Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, you would imagine they finish top, and then they've got a relatively easier route to the final. And I just think we saw, again, they've looked promising in the recent games they've played as well. I think I'm going to go for an outside shot at Netherlands winning their first ever title, because often when teams win unexpectedly, sometimes they win it with a squad you wouldn't have thought. Well, you always go, oh, their squad in 88 was so much better. Their squad in 2010 was so much better. Mm. But more than not, sometimes it's the, you know, the squad that works well as a team rather than individuals that goes on and actually wins it.
Yeah. To be fair, yeah. I mean, they might just pop up a bit later for me in something else.
Okay.
I have gone with Brazil to win it. Probably
really?
The classic pick, yeah. I just, well, there's a couple of things. Only, other than Spain in 2010, only Brazil have won a World Cup outside of their continent before. I mean, they've done it a couple of times. So they've got the history for it. And they just, they've got the well-rounded team. I think, you know, they've got that depth up front. They haven't got many star players, but they've got quality all around the squad, really. Mm. And even when they've had a bad World Cup, these last few, they've had quite a bad World Cup. They've still got to the semis and stuff like that. They're like what people used to say about Germany, like they're always good in the tournament, even if they're not fancied. Yeah. I think they're more fancied this time than the last couple.
Have a look at the German 96 squad that won Euro 96. Just their best player was Stefan Kuntz.
Yeah.
The tournament. And there's no standout players in that squad. You say you're quite right. Yeah, it's a weird one with Brazil. In my mind, Brazil were kind of a bit past it. Like, you know, Neymar's more of a show pony than a player, it seems. Mm. Casemiro's edging out. Thiago Silva's edging out.
Oh, well, they're old. They're old, but they've still... Thiago Silva's still got it, even though he's about 38.
Danny Alves still in the squad, right?
Yeah, this is what I don't know, if he's still in the squad or not, to be honest. Alex
Edison, what keeper do you go with? Casemiro's not the player he was. Like, I don't know. But then I'm not really... You've got Gabriel Jesus, who's injury-prone. Anthony, does he get a look in? It's just a lot of... It depends what squad they take to the World Cup, to be honest. But I don't know. There's no one in that team. I'm going... You know, Neymar was dreadful for the last World Cup. Really was. Yeah, I don't think... I think they'll struggle to get out of the group. That's my hot take.
Oh, blimey.
Serbia, Cameroon, Switzerland. I think Switzerland always do well in tournaments.
Yeah, they do, actually. They always seem to go through.
Serbian got some good players. Yeah, Mitrovic against the Brazilian defence. I think he'll walk all over them.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Right. Top scorer. Who do you think?
Right. So I thought Mbappe's probably a bit too obvious, but he was the first name I came to. Again, they've got quite a relatively easy group. France as well, Australia, Tunisia, and Denmark will probably struggle against. And I also thought Lukaku, Belgium, got a very easy group as well. They got Canada, who are the new boys, Morocco, who I don't think they've ever got out the group stage. And then they got a very old Croatia squad as well. So I thought maybe Lukaku. But then Belgium haven't notoriously scored very many goals, I don't think, in like major tournaments.
Mm.
So I'm actually going to go with Memphis Depay. So I thought Netherlands are going to win it.
Yeah,
Memphis has banging a lot of goals for the Netherlands, more so than his club career ratio-wise. Again, when Netherlands play Qatar, it should be a 7-0 thrashing. If Memphis gets three or four of those, he's quite literally a shoo-in. Again, against Ecuador as well. I think Senegal will probably have a good tournament, to be fair, and they've got a solid defence. But, you know, it just takes those two games against Ecuador and Qatar. If he's got his shooting boots on, I think, and if the Netherlands do as well as I think they're going to do, I think Memphis Depay is going to be definitely up there.
Okay. I've gone with Harry Kane. I don't even think England will do that well, but similar thinking to you. I think he'll absolutely clean up in the group stage. And that's pretty much what he did last tournament. I think he got all the goals in the group stage. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are penalties, though. I just don't know what it is. We struggle against the USA. We always struggle against Wales as well. I think the group stages are really antagonising for us. I think it's a classic pessimism of an England fan. You'll notice in what any of my lists we've got here today, I don't think I've mentioned England once. Because I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, I don't know. Was he top goal scorer 2018?
Yeah, and he scored a lot in the Euros as well. He's on form as well. Like, of course, because of Haaland, no one's talking about Kane really, but he is, you know, he has probably been one of the best players in the league this season.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I think Iran, I know England do normally struggle against the USA, but I think Wales got Danny Ward in goal. So yeah. You know.
USA didn't qualify as well.
Yeah, they're not a great USA side at the minute.
Ryan McBride.
Yeah.
Riddle. Keller.
I think Canada. Yeah, I think Canada won that group actually against the USA. Yeah. So
they got a good little team. A bit patronising that, wasn't it? Good. Canada. With your lakes and your maple syrup. There we go. Yeah. I think Canada might get out the group.
Oh, that's a weird group, that one.
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll get onto that later. But yeah, Memphis Depay for me, but Harry Kane for you. And you, I hope you're right.
Well, I hope Saka is top scorer or something like that instead, but it's not going to happen, really. I think if England are going to score, I know Sterling got a few at the US, but I think it will mainly be through Kane.
It's a good point, actually. Who's going to get our goals, not Kane? I don't trust Callum Wilson or Ivan Toney if they go.
No, I think maybe like set pieces. That's normally where England get a few, didn't they? From there.
Yeah, true. This time last year, when there was big hype about Danny Ings. Get Danny Ings on the plane. How that quietened down so quickly.
Yeah.
I think James Ward-Prowse must, just for free kicks and penalties alone.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will be in it, actually. Well, I think today, the day we're recording, I think it's his birthday. And I think England tweeted, happy birthday to him. And that is a little thing. That's an indicator. He's rated. might be completely wrong, but you know.
When they say happy Halloween, James Ward-Prowse. Happy fireworks night, James Ward-Prowse. Happy pancake day, James Ward-Prowse. All from the England team every time. You know, they're probably on side.
Yeah, that's it. Right, so moving on to the best player. Who are you going for?
There's a few different options, really. I don't think there's... I've opted out for Messi and Ronaldo because I think it's very much a swan song for them. It's their last tournament, which is another reason to watch this World Cup, even if you don't agree with it politically.
Yeah.
So I've popoed them out of it, although they could very easily be the best player at the tournament, even if it's just a token gesture, which you could see the Qatari government do it. But there we go. I think De Bruyne's got a good shout. He's in the form of his life at the moment. He's playing some of the best football. He's got an easy group in Group F of Canada, Morocco and Croatia. If he hits any form he does for Belgium, like he has been doing for Man City, I think he's got a good shout. I mentioned Mbappe earlier. Again, should be getting goals for France. My little Dutch mention is going to be Van Dijk. I think he's going to find his form again and be crucial at the back for them. But it could quite easily be Kai Havertz as well, leading the line for Germany. But I'm going to go for the man who won the Ballon d'Or recently. I'm going to go for Karim Benzema. I think he'll get a few goals and I also think he'll get a lot of assists for Mbappe. And I think he's got a proof point as well because he was extradited from the French squad so long. It'll be such a good... You know, football has these stories of people overcoming the odds or coming back to face adversity. And it's the kind of thing I could see Benzema doing. I could see the headlines already. So I'm going to go Benzema.
Yeah, that's a good shout. And he's, thoroughly deserving of that Ballon d'Or this year. I'm going with, because I'm thinking Brazil are going to win it. There's two, for me, there's two star players.
No. It's never going to happen.
There's Neymar.
No.
But I'm going to go with a rogue choice here.
Go on.
I'm going to go with Alisson.
That is
right. Goalkeeper. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the last goalkeeper to win the player of the tournament was Oliver Kahn in 2002.
Yeah, Neuer should have won it, though, in 2014. I think, although Liverpool are playing really poorly, he's playing well. He's playing really well, and I think he's the glue that's going to stick that Brazil team together.
Yeah, I suppose it's not bad.
I do think Neymar he's going to have a good tournament, but I think in those later rounds, Alisson just is an amazing one-on-one goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think he could come up big in the later rounds. I mean, I think it could be quite a low-scoring kind of World Cup towards the end.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good defences, a lot of good keepers at this tournament as well.
Mm.
Yeah, he was. Can't disagree. Yeah, probably good.
It's a rogue shout, but yeah, I think it could happen. And then we go with the best young player next. So 21 and under.
Damn it.
Is the
FIFA limit, I know. Well, there's a few players who are 22 who just go over the ballpark figure. So Phil Foden, 22 years of age, and a man who's literally just scored in Champions League, Ferran Torres for Spain. I think he was very impressive, not only for Barcelona, but also in general for Spain, whenever I've seen him play. But yeah, the rules are under 21. And there's not too many young...
There's not. Yeah. This is really underwhelming, I think, compared to the past.
So I think the go-to is like Pedri. If he gets good game time, be exciting to watch again. Again, I've seen him a few times for Spain. Very exciting. But the player I'm going for, France, once again, is Eduardo Camavinga. 19 years old. Just plays with utter brutality and confidence for Real Madrid and for the French national side. And I really wanted United to sign him.
He's only about 30 million, weren't he? Which
is
looking like an absolute steal now.
And he just dictates the game. And typically they give the young best player to someone who's got a few goals. And I don't think Camavinga will do that, but I think he will dictate play whenever France play.
Mm. Yeah, the thing with the French players, I'm not sure he's going to play every game because they've got such depth there. Although they've had a few injuries, haven't they, recently?
Yeah. I don't know if he's first on the team sheet for Real Madrid sometime. Like, I don't know. Well, you could say the same for Pedri, to be honest, or any young player under 21. Yeah, they're really going to be on the starting team unless they're playing for like a team that hasn't got a massive talent pool. But I'm really impressed by him. And as we said, there wasn't too many young players. I think it's between him and Pedri.
Yeah, I think they're both good shouts. I thought Pedri as well, but I think he won it. He won the Euros one, didn't he, as well, the best young player. But I'm going to throw out Jude Bellingham. I think if Kane's not going to score the goals, I think Bellingham's going to be involved in whatever England do. So
shout, to be fair. I completely forgot he existed.
He'll only be about 19, I think.
Yeah, 19, 20.
He's really young.
That's a very good shout, to be fair. But can he do it for England? What he's done?
He's not massively shown it yet. I think we're probably getting to a point now where he's not the first name on the team sheet by any means, but I think he's probably the first name in midfield now over Declan Rice and people like that.
There's no Calvin Phillips, is there? I don't think Henderson makes the plane, personally. Yeah, he's the first person I put in midfield. That's a good shout, to be fair. Well, the thing is, though, the way FIFA are very biased, I can't see them choosing an England player.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time an English player did win win the award. But so this young player sometimes is a bit weird. They give it to someone that's not really deserving of it, whereas normally in the best player, they do tend to deserve it in recent years, other than Messi.
Yeah, that was too.
But yeah, you could see, you know, yeah, Messi or Ronaldo could definitely be given it, even if they don't deserve it, if they get to a decent stage.
True.
And then we've got the dark horse. So basically, the one that kind of comes up unexpected and surpasses.
Expectation.
Yeah.
So you're thinking Turkey 2002. Well, I suppose Netherlands to win it is quite a little bit of a dark horse, but they have got a fantastic squad and kind of history on the international stage. I mean, again, Qatar, you never know what could happen with the bribes and stuff. They managed to, you know, it's well known now that, you know, money ended up in people's pockets for them to host the World Cup.
Yeah.
Host nation not getting out of the group stage would be quite embarrassing. I think there might be some dodgy refereeing decisions in Group A. That's all I'm going to say.
I think...
in a dark horse, potentially.
I think Saudi might do all right, because I think you saw it in South Africa. Like, South Africa didn't get out of the group, but Ghana was a Luis Suarez hand from the semi-final. So
quite a difficult group, though. Argentina, Mexico, Poland.
Oh, no, I don't think Ghana would do well, but just saying, in 2010, although they weren't the host country, they had the whole continent behind them. Mm. And I think maybe Saudi give the Middle East the best chance of
success. That's what I'm saying. They've got a difficult group.
Are they in that group, are they?
Argentina, Mexico, Poland. You're not telling me Saudi Arabia even getting a point against any of those teams?
I think they might. They're not my dark horse, though, anyway.
Okay, well, I've not mentioned mine yet. So my actual is Senegal. Sadio Mane, Koulibaly, Mendy, Gay, Sarr, Kouyaté. It's one hell of a spine.
Mm.
As any football fan will know, sometimes a good spine is all you need. And who's in their group? Let's just have a look. We've got Qatar, Ecuador and Netherlands. I mean, they should be beating Qatar. I think they're more than capable. Well, they won the AFCON, didn't they, last year?
Yeah.
They're more than capable of beating Ecuador. And you know what? They could probably get a point, maybe even win against Netherlands.
Yeah, I've got the same dark horse. I do have a comment that if you can consider the Netherlands a dark horse, then they would be. But obviously, you've got them winning, you would be of the same mind on that. But I think the Netherlands and Senegal are both going to do really well.
Mm.
They both look strong, kind of throughout the team, really. So yeah, it'd be good to see Mane's very good for Senegal as well. So they've got the spine and they've got that sort of star man as well. And then on the flip of the coin, the biggest flop.
Kind of mentioned them already. I've gone for the South American teams of Brazil and Argentina. Again, I think Brazil's got quite an ageing squad. The young players, I don't think they're as convincing as the younger players they've had in the past, who then went on to become some of the world's best players. I know you kind of convinced me of your Alisson statement earlier on. But I just don't... Again, didn't they barely qualify? Or did I?
No, I think they were on a bit of an unbeaten run potentially, as well as Argentina.
Well, yeah, and then my other biggest flop is Argentina. Aging squad, undefeated streak will end at some point. Because I think they've not been playing, like the South American teams at the moment, a bit of a lull. They haven't got any standout players. I suppose they have. But the Argentina side, you would expect that Argentina side to do really well against the other teams. But they are quite, look at their squad, it's quite old. They've still got like Otamendi and like Lo Celso.
They've never had the defence either. Argentina.
Yeah, well, they had Colaccini, Ayala, Sorin back in the day, didn't they? But yeah, like some of the players they're playing, I've never heard of. So I just don't see them doing well. And I think they're going to come in with such high expectation, with all the pundits saying, oh, they're undefeated for so many games. Maybe they'll do a New Zealand and like draw all their group games or something. I just don't think it'll be quite underwhelming. And there'll be a lot of pressure on Messi as well. His last World Cup, he's still their best player. There'll be a lot of pressure on him. I can't see them doing well. So Argentina, I'm going to put down for my biggest flop. And they're in a group with Mexico and Poland, who always do well at tournaments, and then Saudi Arabia, as we mentioned as well.
Yeah, I'm going with a different South American side. I'm going with Uruguay. I don't think they'll get out of their group.
They're a good side there. They've got Valverde, Nunez.
I don't fancy them.
They're a difficult group. That's the group of death, I think.
That is the group. Like
Ghana,
Portugal, Ghana, South Korea. I mean, to be honest, I don't know many South Korean players these days, but they've obviously got a superstar in Son, who's arguably the best player in that whole group. And South Korea do tend to do well at these tournaments. Yeah, I don't know. With Luis Suarez, I know they've got Darwin, Valverde, which they didn't have before, but Luis Suarez and Cavani, they've had them the last couple of World Cups.
True.
I don't know where the goals are going to come. I mean, Darwin Nunes is not as bad as the Twitter memes will have you think. Definitely not, but I don't know. But I've got to be honest, I'm not sure there's going to be any massive flops at this World Cup. I think that unpredictability of this World Cup is going to be off the pitch, on the pitch. I think all the big European giants will go through, and I don't really fancy Argentina either, to be honest. But yeah, I think Brazil will do well. I don't think we're going to see what we saw in 2002. I don't think.
Fair enough.
And then talking of groups, well, the best group, I suppose.
I'd go on.
Take that how you want, really. But
yeah, I've gone best. I've done two. I've gone with best group and most entertaining.
Yeah.
But for the best group, I've gone for group E.
Who's in that?
Spain, Costa Rica, Germany and Japan. I think you've got two giants in there in Spain and Germany. You've won the World Cup. So they're going to be fighting out. But they're going to be fighting out with Japan, who are always, again, they do quite well at tournaments. They've just got their team is so, always seems to be really plucky, and they fucking fight like absolute warriors. And Costa Rica, you know, they're not the Costa Rica of old with Paulo Waltrop and Brian Ruiz. I think Brian Ruiz actually still might be there. But, you know, the Costa Rica aren't pushovers. They regularly qualify for World Cups and they'll make it difficult. They're quite a physical team, aren't they? I think, yeah, with having Spain and Germany in one group seems a bit like it shouldn't happen. You know what I mean? So I think that will be the best group. I think that will be, you know, the last group games, they will be fighting for points. It'll be interesting to see who qualifies. Could be a major upset. Most entertaining, I think, will go to Group F. I think Canada got a very young, exciting side. They got a lot of good players. Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, for example. You got a Belgium side that's on its last legs, really. You got a lot of that squad. It's the last time they're going to be together with De Bruyne, Lukaku, if Dries Mertens is still kicking about. Axel Witsel, Courtois, all these fantastic, great players. It's their last tournament together, really, because they're getting on a bit. They're, you know, all in their early 30s. Well, that great Canadian side. You've got Morocco, who've got some young, talented players, and you've got a really old Croatia side. I just think that'd be quite entertaining, all that coming together. There's quite a few different storylines.
Yeah.
I think that'll throw up some entertaining results.
Yeah, that Group F, I mean, I don't really know how that's going to go. Anyone could go through in that if they have a good day, or one of them has an off day or whatever. So yeah, I'm going with Group A though. I think we've already said, you know, the Senegal and the Netherlands are both really strong sides. I think that could be a good match. And the host nation, you know, when they're in that group, there's going to be a lot of coverage on that. And there probably will be some, as you say, probably some dodgy decisions. I don't think Qatar will go through, but you know, maybe they get some dodgy decisions against Ecuador, so they at least get a win under their belt. And from what I've seen of Ecuador, they're a very hard team to break down. So they could, I mean, to be fair, that doesn't make them interesting to watch, but you know, team, they might, they're potentially capable of holding someone to a 0-0 or 1-1 or something like that. So yeah, I think there'll be some good storylines in that group as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think every group will have their own kind of story going on. But yeah, you're quite right.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, I've not thought of the most boring group, but I think it's probably Group B, England's group, because I feel like England always play the USA.
Yeah, and Wales. We played Wales a few times, haven't we?
Yeah,
Group Group B or Group D. I think France, Australia.
Group D is the same as 2018, other than one team.
It's quite standard, isn't it?
Yeah, there was three teams in that group before. So, yeah, that's you want to see new teams, really.
Mm.
And then we've gone with a very specific to you category, the best noughties player. So I think they've got to have played a decent amount in the noughties sort of thing, like... Not someone that maybe started playing in 2009 as a kid and something like a proper noughties player.
Fair enough. I think Messi and Ronaldo is a bit too obvious.
Yeah.
And as we discussed, you know, biggest flop's going to be Argentina. It'd be weird to see how Ronaldo gets on in that group H as well, because it's the group of death. So he's going to have to pull something out the bag. No doubt he probably will. So I generally, you know, if I was playing safe, I'd put my money on Ronaldo. I think he'll pull Portugal through that group with a few goals. But I think Manuel Neuer, if he's back from injury, gets into that Germany team and is still number one. Manuel Neuer is certainly a shout. Thomas Müller as well, also in that Germany team. And the player I thought would potentially be top goal scorer, Karim Benzema. As well, so I'm going to.
Oh, I didn't even think of Benzema.
I'm going to.
I don't know why. Yeah, because he's been around for absolute years.
Fergie tried to sign him 2007, so yeah, he done a few different decent spells.
Yeah, I probably would have gone with him, to be fair, but I didn't think of him. Yeah. I've gone with his teammate Luka Modric.
Oh, that's a good shout, to be fair. Yeah, not bad.
He's playing pretty well at the moment, and he's
38 already.
I think he's 37. We've just done a pod actually on the best current players over 35.
Oh,
Benzema's not quite 35 yet, and he's right up there on that list. So yeah, I think he's in that group F, which we talked about. You know, the one that could potentially go either way. But Croatia. Not just in 2018, but they've got a little bit of history of doing well. They did well at 98 as well. I think they've gone deep a couple of times at the Euros too. So they're a decent tournament side. And although they've got an old side, I fancy them to do all right. And either way, I think Modric will be key to that.
Yeah, he's. He just keeps on doing it, hasn't he? Keeps on trucking. I keep saying, oh, he's too old now. Surely he's going to kick the bucket. But, you know, he keeps on trucking on. The metronome of Croatia. Yeah, I think it's a good chance, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay, so that is... that's all our categories. I suppose what we could end with is, how do you think England are going to do at this World Cup?
You know what? I like Gareth Southgate. I know he gets a lot of stick from everyone on Twitter, but in my lifetime, he's got us to a final and a semi in consecutive tournaments. And defensive teams historically win World Cups.
Mm.
You know, that German, who won it last? France won it last. They played with a back six. People were like, oh, Pogba should play further upfield for United. him and Blaise Matuidi were effectively defensive midfielders in front of Varane and whoever else. They had a really good defence. Germany before that, Mats Hummels, Boateng, really good defence. Spain before that, they had Ramos, really good defence. Italy won it before that, Cannavaro, Bonucci, Chiellini, just really good defence. The anonymous one probably is, you know, Brazil. I suppose they didn't have the standout defence back then, but they still had like Lucio and players like that. And then 98, you've got your Lilian Thurams and Lizarus and stuff. So you've got standout defence. Defences win World Cups, and people, oh, his play is too defensive. Defence wins World Cups. Look at the history. It's itself. And most World Cup finals don't have more than three goals. So, you know, so how are England going to get on, in my roundabout way, is I don't think we're going to be able to score enough goals, is essentially where it is, as we kind of touched on earlier. If Harry Kane is the focal point, if he gets injured, or he hasn't got his firing boots on, which we've seen in a couple of friendly internationals recently, I don't know where the goals are going to come from playing the way we do. So I think we'll get out the group, and I think we'll probably get out in quarters.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think quarters. I think that's kind of par normally for England anyway. Like,
yep.
They almost always go out in the quarterfinal. I think there was that one. Was it 2014? Didn't get out the group, but normally it is. It is quarterfinal, which is why when Southgate got to the semi-finals, it was such a big thing. Like, wow, this is
absolutely
kind of the first time it's happened in like 30 years or whatever. And yeah, I think that's kind of their standard thing. It's like how Mexico almost always go out in the round of 16.
Yeah. The other thing as well, you kind of mentioned it earlier, is the weather factor as well. Playing that in extreme heat. I know they've got state-of-the-art air-conditioned stadiums, but not to the extent where you're running around for 90 minutes and you've got to, you know, you can feel the fucking cool air like you're sat in a car. It doesn't work like that. Like, they can have drinks breaks every, like, 20 minutes from what I've been reading. So it's... they're going to struggle. You know, the reason we've done well at the last World Cup, it was in Russia. It's a similar sort of temperature to what we used to, and Euros, it was in our backyard, you know. But going to Mexico or the Middle East or South Africa, it's going to be tricky.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's even been certain games, isn't there, where like it was visible like they're really struggling here with this heat. I think it was the Germany, the 4-1 that time. They just really tailed off at the end. So, yeah, I think the first really top-class team that can keep the ball and have England running a lot, that's probably when they go out. But that probably won't be to the quarters, because can't see them not winning the group.
We've got isn't the round of 16 we either play like Brazil or Argentina, though?
Oh, is it? To be fair, I've not looked at the...
I think it's that...
I've not looked at the wall chart yet. So
one of those teams does flop, so we play against, I don't know, Cameroon or something. But I think we might be playing Group C. So, yeah, potentially Argentina. But, yeah, the round of 16 looks like it could chuck us out there.
Yeah, potentially.
Another, you know what, we've long overdue another classic Argentine England bash.
Yeah, even friendly. I can't remember the last time. That was about probably like 15, 20 years ago. Last, I think it might have been, 2002 World Cup. So, yeah, but you know, it's a World Cup. It's long overdue, with it being in winter as well. So. It's hope for the best, and at least the one positive for it being kind of the time zones it is, we can just, when we're working from home, just stick the telly on and just watch it in the background.
So fucking Italy.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, it's been a pleasure, Ollie, and let's see at the end of this which one of us has got the better predictions.
Yeah, when last was at Euros, I thought Turkey would do well. So I think everyone did to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Everyone backed him. That was an awful decision. So probably, you know, Qatar were probably going to win it. top goal scorer, some guy we never heard of. And yeah, a load of controversial things will probably happen. That'll probably be the only thing we get right. Harry Kane gets
That's a certainty, right. Yeah. All right. Cheers again, Ollie, for coming on. And I'm sure we will see you soon around here again.
Absolutely. Pleasure.